The 4th of July is right around the corner, and KRWG Public Media wants you to go beyond burgers and dogs with a special show we are calling Grillin' and Chilling with Tom. Hi, I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host and weekend grilling warrior. Our special guest is Tom Drake. Tom is the culinary arts instructor at Doña Ana Community College. He'll have great recipes and tips to get you beyond burgers and dogs. Call in right now at 575-646-2212 or join us on social media with your questions, tips, or comments. All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card to Toucan Market. KRWG's Grillin' and Chillin' with Tom after the news. KRWG's Grillin' and Chillin' with Tom is made possible by Toucan Market, providing locally grown products from over 100 local suppliers, supporting the local community for over 14 years. 1701 East University, number 1. Toucan Market, eat healthy, be healthy. By Pioneer Bank, a Las Cruces community bank, serving the financial needs of southern New Mexico and West Texas since 1901, with accounts and lending products. Information at pioneerbnk.com. Welcome to KRWG's Grillin' and Chillin' with Tom. I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host, and a self-certified weekend barbecue smoking warrior. Are you looking to fire up the grill for this 4th of July? Our guest is Tom Drake. Tom is a culinary arts instructor at Doña Ana Community College, and he'll have great recipes and tips to get you beyond burgers and dogs. Got some tips you want to share, or a question about adding some flair to your barbecue, or whatever it is you're going to cook up this 4th of July? Call in at 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, or join Anthony Moreno, who is standing by the social media desk, ready to hear from you. All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card to Toucan Market. Tom, let's kick it off. We've had a lot of excitement around this show because we've been looking forward to the 4th of July, and that's the, you know, Memorial Day is actually the official kickoff of summer. But Tom, let's start the conversation. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to have a passion for food.
Oh, that goes back many years. I grew up in a military family, and my father was stationed with NATO in Turkey, and I discovered that food is more an experience than it was just fuel for the machine. And there, the restaurants kept you there for 3 hours. I mean, you ate and you danced and you know, it was really about the experience and the memory. And coming back to the States, I realized how spoiled we were. I started at New Mexico State University in 1983 studying aeronautical engineering. And about that time, the computers were taking about a third of the job. So I tried to scramble around and figure out what I wanted to do. And I took a job at the lodge in Cloudcroft as a server and really felt a passion for serving people. And I loved it. Worked my way up as far as I could go in the dining room, and they moved me into the kitchen. And that's where I really found my true love for food. Went off to Chicago for a year to expand my culinary horizons, went to the Culinary Institute of America in New York, graduated valedictorian there, came back to New Mexico because I thought, well, I want to contribute to the community and raise our awareness of what really quality food is. Zigzagged my way up eventually to Oregon, took a job with a company up there working for the Trailblazers. I was doing the skyboxes.
The Portland Trailblazers.
In Portland.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And I won a third place in a national menu competition. They moved me down to Oakland as a reward, so to speak. And I took over as executive chef for the Raiders, Warriors, and Athletics. Jumped from there over to the Federal Building in San Francisco on September 4th, 2001. And a week later, all the rules changed how kitchens are operated in federal facilities. And after trying to figure out how to raise a family in a crazy environment is the San Francisco Bay Area, we decided to move back to New Mexico where my parents were, and I started working for a food selling company, going around and selling food, and did that for 10 years, and I really missed being in the kitchen. So I bought a large mobile kitchen. It was a great platform for doing caterings and, you know, weddings and festivals and what have you. And partnered up with Jerry and Susie down at the Spotted Dog, started selling food down there. And about the time I started at the Spotted Dog. I took an adjunct position up at DACC. Hung out there for a couple years as a part-timer during the week. Working the weekends at the Spotted Dog. We expanded into a kitchen there where we change our menu every week, which is really kind of fascinating. And then was offered a full-time job at DACC. The nice thing there is that I can cultivate the passion in the students that are coming in because they want to be there and they want to learn and they're excited. And every day we try to challenge them to be better than they were yesterday. The ones that rise to the surface, I have the luxury of offering them a position in my kitchen where they can come in and put the rubber to the road, so to speak. And then they continue on learning how to operate a kitchen because I can't be there all the time. And then we want them to go on to bigger and better things.
Let me ask you, let me jump in, because we're talking about education, and we're going to get to some recipes in just a bit. But talk to me about, have you seen any differences in generations that are coming through the school as to adventuresome or, you know, or in other words, has there been an attitude change in all of, because of all of these cooking shows where somebody wants to be the next Chef Ramsay?
And the next TV star, yeah. It's funny that you say that, because the very first day, and we get them in August, it's a 5-semester program, so they show up in August in Chef 101, and the very first day their assignment is to answer 5 questions. One, what's your name? What brought you here? What's the best restaurant in Las Cruces that you think? And last out of the 39 students, I had 3 people say Taco Bell was their favorite restaurant. And no offense, Taco Bell. What's the craziest thing they've ever eaten? What's the most exotic thing they put in their mouth? And then what do they want out of the program? And where they want to be? You know, do they want to open their own food truck? Do they want to open their own restaurant? Do they want to work in their parents' place? And it's really kind of amazing to see how they all start to have this same underlying instantaneous gratitude. If I was an architect, I could sit down and draw plans for you, and you have to approve them, then we have to get them engineered, and then we build this thing, and it takes us 5 years to build your building. Instantaneous gratitude kind of makes us in the culinary field a little bit selfish, because it's, I cook it, you eat it, I get the feedback right away, and it's like, ah. And that's what the student body, because everything is, social media is so fast, you know, it's like, the connectivity that they have is just like instant. I send you a text, I get it right back. Mm-hmm. And now I think they're feeding off of that. So when they understand that they can have that in this field of culinary, where they create this, they build this plate, they present it to their customer, their guest, and they get that instant feedback. And I think that they kind of, they feed off of that. And it's really kind of fascinating to see.
All right, Chef Drake, Chef Tom Drake, he is our guest here at KRWG Public Media, where we are featuring Grillin' and Chillin' with Tom. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You can also join us on social media, where we are taking your questions and comments for Tom. If you have some suggestions, some ideas of what you do best, that is one of the questions I always ask people when they talk about, you know, what they're cooking. I always ask them, what's your favorite dish and what do you enjoy doing? And for me, when I'm asked that question, it's like, I always go to my smoked turkey. And so, you know, what is your favorite dish to cook? Call in, share your recipes, share your tips, share in the conversation with Grillin' and Chillin' with Tom. Again, the number is 575-646-2212. All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card to Toucan Market, where you can go and select your cut of steak or whatever dish you want to cook up this 4th of July weekend.
And Toucan has such a great variety of meat products, seafood. They do a wonderful job with their counter back there.
Tom, let's talk about the difference between smoking and grilling. A lot of people, you know, really get out in the grill. We want to talk about the differences between gas grill and charcoal in a bit, but what's the difference between smoking and grilling?
Well, smoking originally was designed to impart flavor, but yet act as a preservative. And we've taken it to new heights with whether we're smoking meat or curing bacon and the flavors that are involved in smoking. There's a difference between hot smoking and cold smoking. Whether we want to take, let's say, a salmon, a side of salmon, and we want to hot smoke it, we're going to actually dry it out, and so it's going to be crumbly and flaky and have that really nice, intense smoked flavor. And the woods that you use are going to dictate what type of aromas and flavors you have. So you're going to smell the smoke instantly, even before you put it in your mouth, and then you taste that. When it comes to meats, you're looking for that nice smoke ring. So you want a slow smoke, so kind of an indirect cold smoking. My smoker at home is really small, so it's hard for me to do this. We are developing a large smoker at the university, at our campus, and it's going to have the capability of doing hot and cold smoking. So we could actually make, you know, cold smoked salmon, which would still look like gravlax. But grilling is a high heat from underneath, and broiling is a heat from up above. And then when you start smoking, you're adding wood chips to it. I've used wood chips on my gas grill. I also have a cast iron, basically the kind that you would see in a park, a big heavy one that I burn live wood on. And so that gives a really high heat. I use a lot of mesquite in that.
Are you more of a mesquite person? I mean, it goes by region. I remember when I lived in Illinois, the big thing was applewood.
Right. And because we have the mesquite here, and I use pecan as well, because
that's my wood of choice.
Yep. And I use those in chips. I've got a bucket of them soaking right now. And you can soak them in water. You can soak them in any kind of liqueur to impart those flavors as well, whatever you're looking to do. And it depends on the product. If you're using pork or using beef, and more larger pieces like a brisket take a lot longer to cook. The intensity of the smoke, like I'll smoke ribs for only 20 minutes just to impart that flavor, and then I'll finish them in the oven or indirectly off the side of the grill just to get them nice and tender, because I want that 2-hour cook time, but I didn't want 2 hours worth of smoke because they're so thin. But if I wanted to cook a brisket for 14 hours, I'll smoke it for 2 or 3 and then finish it indirectly.
All right, 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 if you're going to join in on the conversation with Tom Drake, who is the culinary arts instructor at Doña Ana Community College. Let us go to our social media desk where Anthony Moreno is standing by. Anthony, you should check out the smell in here, because we're going to be cooking. Tell us what we're going to be cooking in a bit.
Well, I could tell by the happy faces on the live feed at the KRWG Public Media Facebook page that something's happening in there, and folks can witness that by liking our Facebook page, and they can also ask questions as well. We have a couple of questions. One is from Pat asking how they can make a portobello mushroom more tasty on the grill.
And, you know, this is something that I had to discover 3 years ago when my daughter decided to become a vegetarian. And I started using portobello mushroom as a way to have some kind of substitute.
The portobello mushroom is actually really a great topping for a burger. That's the best way to eat a portobello. But there are some ways to eat it and still keep it vegetarian. The best thing to do is to remove the stem and then pull all the fins out. And then I brush mine with olive oil and just a little bit of salt and pepper, and I turn it cap so it's up, so the cavity is on the grill, and I let that steaming activity start to soften the portobello. And then I move it to a hotter part of the grill, and I caramelize the backside of it. So you want it to have some chew, some mouth appeal to it, so it's just not just a big old slab of slimy fungus, but you want it almost a consistency of a steak. We use them quite often as a meat substitute, because you can actually impart it with a little bit of soy sauce. You get that umami flavor profile in there, and it really behaves well. But it take some patience. But the most important thing is to remove the fins, because the fins will have a lot of slime when they start to steam off. And that's what kind of turns people off on the mushrooms.
Okay. Now we have another question from our Facebook page from Donna, who wants to know about some helpful tips for grilling shrimp.
Ah, well, we're going to be doing a shrimp recipe. We couldn't bring our grill into the studio, so I have an induction burner. We're going to be doing a spicy grilled shrimp with garlic and lemon here in a few minutes. And I brought one of my cohorts with me, Lauren. Yep, she was a former student, former employee. She's come back this summer. We'll be doing some guest work for me at the Spotted Dog. And she's going to be working with the shrimp. I have to tell this story because it's really important to me and my philosophy of food. My great-grandmother, I think she was about 94 at the time, we went out to lunch with my father and family. And my father got up to go pay for the meal. And she asked where he was. And I said, well, he went to go pay for it. And she said, it seems such a shame that you have to pay for it when you work so hard to eat it. So we always try to make things easy for the customer. And one of the things we do is we peel the shrimp tail all the way off. And if you're going to be cooking or grilling several shrimp, it's best to skewer them so you can turn like five or six at a time,
okay,
instead of one at a time. The continuation of cooking process, you want to make sure that you don't overcook them on the grill. So you want a high heat, let it sit for about 2 minutes on one side, and until it starts to turn translucent, move it over for about another minute and a half and let it go.
Okay, because that's where I've gone wrong, in that I've done shrimp kebabs, and so I'm like stressing out over cooking the vegetables that the shrimp overcooks.
Correct. And the best way to do is to blanch your vegetables if you're going to skewer them, so your vegetables are partially cooked, because shrimp will cook super fast, especially on high heat. And you have to remember that some of your marinades will actually start to cook the shrimp chemically. That's how ceviche is cooked. You know, you cook it overnight in lime juice, and the lime actually denatures the proteins and cooks the shrimp. And so if you have a real high acid marinade, your shrimp's already partially cooked before you even get it to the grill.
646-2212, 575-646-2212. If you want to join in on the conversation with Tom, we are grilling and chilling with Tom. What are you cooking this 4th of July weekend? Are you going to smoke a brisket? Briskets are very popular here in southern New Mexico. I know that when I go to a family reunion in Deming, they always serve up their famous brisket. What do you prefer? Do you prefer steak? What are some good vegetarian recipes that you are willing to share? All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card to Toucan Market. Let's get talking about some recipes. And the recipe that you sent over was honey garlic sriracha chicken. How do you go about putting this together?
I wrote the recipe for chicken thigh because chicken thigh is grill friendly in the fact that it won't dry out as much as chicken breast. I'm actually going to be doing these tomorrow night at a function. A similar dish, we're going to add some bourbon to it because it's a Cajun dinner, but we're going to be doing chicken wings with it. So we're going to marinate the chicken in sriracha and garlic and some vinegar and put some honey in there to get that sweet. So you get that tang and the sweetness. And then you can add as much heat as you want by increasing the amount of sriracha or lowering it down. But those flavors just tend to work so well together when you get the sweet and the acidic properties from the vinegar and then the heat. And then again, you know, somebody always says, well, do you think this salsa is spicy? Well, it's all relative. You know, if I'm coming from New Mexico and going, hey, this is a great salsa, and then I take it to Wisconsin, you know, where they think ketchup's spicy. So it's
I always like to share the story. When I first moved to New Hampshire, I went into a local store looking for Pace Picante sauce because, you know, that was going to be as close to
authentic
as I could get. And bumping into a store, and they had extra mild Pace. Like, wow.
Extra mild.
Extra mild, yeah. Yes. So, okay, so you take half a cup of honey.
Correct.
Sriracha sauce. Now, do you base that? Sriracha sauce, to me, is not spicy. But, again, it's relative.
It is relative. You know, I love it just raw, right on top of fried rice.
Okay.
And there's some people that, you know, if you put a little bit of sriracha in something else, like ranch dressing, all of a sudden the ranch dressing becomes painfully intense. So we finish this with a little bit of soy sauce and some lime juice in it, and I like to let it soak, and then I reserve some of the sauce, and I'll cook it, because you have to cook the sauce because you have chicken juice in it, mm-hmm, and you don't want to just get sick. So we throw this in the marinade for at least an hour. Throw it on the grill, and I always say put it skin side down. Now, if you have skin on or skin off, it really doesn't matter with this product. I like doing skin off. A, it's a little bit healthier, and B, the skin's not absorbing, you know, we get more of the penetration of the marinade into the meat. And then we throw it on the grill, and I like to let it sit. if you're constantly turning and flipping things, or, you know, you see these showboat chefs that are sauteing forever, the food's not cooking if it's in the air. It only can cook if it's on the pan or on the grill. So let it sit on the grill and then turn it once, let it finish, and then pull it off and let it rest while, and I always have a pan that I put on my grill and use the heat. I try to keep the house relatively cool. We cook outside, throw the pan right on the grill with the remaining sauce on it, bring it to a boil. It'll reduce down a little bit, and it makes a nice glaze to go right on top of the chicken.
All right, let's talk about trends. What's the hot trend right now? I remember back in the 90s, Chipotle was like booming, and, you know, farmers market had Chipotle at an ungodly amount per pound. And, you know, trends come and go. What's the current trend? What's the it cooking item that people are venturing to do? By the way, you can join us in on the conversation. Also, make sure to like our Facebook page, because we're going to be doing a cooking demonstration in just a bit. So you can tune in and watch the cooking demonstration. And what are you going to be cooking again?
We're going to be cooking grilled shrimp with, it's going to have a little bit of spice. It's got some chili in the marinade with garlic and lemon. We've actually grilled a lemon back at our studio. Again, we didn't want to smoke everybody out here, but so we pre-grilled the lemons, and we'll serve the shrimp on top of the grilled lemon here in a few minutes.
Okay, so trends.
Trends are tough. I mean, mm-hmm. because it's all regional.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The big trend here is the sustainability farm to fork. That's huge right now. There's a lot of farmers that I deal with, whether it's at the college, the community college, or it's at the Spotted Dog, that are coming in and they're bringing me bundles of herbs, or they're we do a local chili roast in August as they're harvesting, mm-hmm. and we're trying to work with a local baker. You know, the local market is so big. One of the things that we're finding successful is just bold flavors without being overwhelming. And it doesn't have to be layer upon layer upon layer. We try to keep things simple. So if you look at my menu and it says it's sriracha ranch, guess what? It's ranch dressing with sriracha sauce in it. And that's all it is, but it's the way we use it in the different burgers. And to be honest, there's a lot of old techniques that are coming back to be really cool. Sous vide is one of them. Sous vide is a cooking process where you're cooking underwater and not in swim trunks and snorkels and what have you, but it's where we take a food product, we marinate it, and it could be vegetables, it could be fish, could be chicken, could be meat, and we put it in a bag with all the spices and herbs and the marinade that we want. We vacuum seal it and we put it into a water bath. The cool thing is that the water bath, say we're cooking steaks, and we can have a water bath set up for medium, which is about 143 degrees. We can have medium rare, which is in the 120s. And you set the water and you leave the bag in there so it's going to retain its moisture because there's no place for it to go. It can only cook as high as the water can take it. And you can just constantly, I'm waiting for somebody to come up with the idea of doing a drive-through steakhouse where they've got water bath for rare, medium, and medium well. So all you have to do is cut the bag open, sear it off real quick, and throw it in a to-go box. And by the time they drive around to pay, your steak's already done.
No kidding. Okay. Yeah. All right. So what's popular in New Mexico? You know, people love their green chili. What's your favorite green chili recipe?
Oy, there's so many. Mm-hmm. When I crave green chili, I go down to my kitchen. I have my staff make me my green chili filly. We use an autumn roast green chili. It's flame roasted. It's a beautiful
product. An autumn rose is a combination of red and green.
Correct. And it's a medium to medium hot. And it works really well. We put about 2.5 ounces in with shredded beef, sear that on the flat top, top it with cheese, put it in a nice French roll, and it's just a great sandwich. And that's what I go to if I want my green chili fix. But we put green chili in our chicken Alfredo or shrimp Alfredos. We're using it just about where any chance we can throw green chili in and wow some people. Last year at our chili roast, we did a breaded chili plank and really had some fun with that. It was just a nice big old slab of green chili, not stuffed with cheese or anything. It just
big slab.
Yep.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. What is your favorite green chili recipe? What recipes are you willing to share with our audience? Join in on the conversation. You can also join us on social media where Anthony Moreno is standing by. All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card to Toucan Market. Let's talk about grilling outdoors some good vegetarian dishes. We talked about portobello mushrooms. What is the secret to grilling vegetables to make sure they don't dry out?
The best way, it depends on the vegetable combination that you're using, because there's some hardy vegetables. Let's say a carrot is really hard and it takes a little bit longer to cook than, say, a mushroom,
a tomato.
Or a tomato, right. So one of the hardest things for our culinary students to understand is, as we're trying to get them to do a composition plate, is making sure everything finishes at the same time. So they have to work backwards from, you know, the end back to the beginning. So what are they going to cook first? What's going to take the longest to cook, so they're not trying to hold things warm? If you're making kebabs, and it's going to be, if you want a big old chunk of, you know, grilled sweet potato on there, my recommendation is to blanch it in a water bath till it's fork tender. So it cooks just as fast as the cherry tomato on the end of your skewer or a mushroom cap. That way you're not overcooking some of the vegetables and drying them out while you're waiting for some of the harder vegetables to cook.
Let's talk about marinades. What's a good marinade for chicken?
Chicken, my favorite one is, believe it or not, just a little bit of soy sauce, a little bit of fresh garlic. I throw red chili flake in there because I want some heat, or a little bit of Cajun seasoning, olive oil, and then I always hit it with a little bit of acid. And lately I've been using lime juice because fresh limes are inexpensive, and they just add just a little bit of lightening agent to it. So when you don't have that acid, it becomes a heavier dish, a heavier mouthfeel, and the acidity helps bring out the flavor.
575-646-2212, or join us on social media where we are taking your questions and comments. Anthony Moreno is standing by, ready to hear from you. Let's talk about the roasted pork loin with peach barbecue sauce. Talk to me about how to make this peach barbecue sauce, because this is when I love pork loin. It's one of my favorite meats to smoke. And I've experimented with different dry rubs, wet rubs,
okay.
And I've done teriyaki. And so far, the teriyaki smoked pork loin that I did really did well at a party.
And why do you think that went over so well? Think of the flavors that were involved in it.
Yes. And I started out the meat with a dry rub that's got some basic spices, you know, chili powder, pepper, kosher salt. And I smoked it for 5 hours. And then I put that teriyaki. And it had what I considered an explosion in the mouth.
Okay. And the explosion comes from, there's a little bit of umami, which is a relatively new, you know, we talk about salty and sweet and sour and bitter as being flavor profiles. Umami is a new one that falls in tomatoes, give you that mouthfeel. Soy sauce does. So you're going to have a little bit of soy in your teriyaki, and then you have the sweetness. So that combination of those two really, like you say, explode in your mouth. And then just having the extra layer with the smoke really makes it a huge difference in that. And what we did with this peach barbecue sauce is there's a little bit of acid in there, but there's a lot of sweetness from the peaches. So you get that sweetness, and then the grilled meat has that just that char. So you're kind of getting that smokiness to it, as well as complementing it with the sweetness of the peach barbecue sauce. And peaches, you know, it's seasonal. Mm-hmm. We're not going to run this in January.
Absolutely not.
Cling peaches in a can are fine for a kid with a little bit of cottage cheese, but
not on a
pork loin. But this dish really works well together. And it does take some time to make the sauce up ahead of time, but it's worth it.
All right, let's go to our social media desk, where Anthony Moreno. Social media is really burning up. In just a bit, we've got...
It's firing up.
It's firing up. We're going to be doing a cooking demonstration where you can join in and watch them cook up the demonstration. Lauren is going to be doing that. So what are people saying on social media, Anthony?
Okay, Edmundo, we have Julie who has a question for Tom about what is the best meat for grilling, in your opinion?
In my opinion, my favorite is a ribeye from Toucan Market, about 2 inches thick. Char it, just a little bit of salt and pepper, brush it with a little olive oil right before it goes on, and let it go to medium rare. If it depends on the function. That's my favorite, a grilled ribeye. There's a relatively new cut of meat that is called Terrace Major. It's a mock tenderloin. It comes from the shoulder clod of a cattle, and it looks like a little teardrop-shaped tenderloin, like a pork tenderloin, but it's beef, and it's just as beautiful. And they're kind of relatively hard to find. We source them through our primary vendor over at the brewery, and it works very, very well on the grill. We grill the whole thing whole, and then we slice it and serve it medallion style.
Okay, we have another question from Janine, who wants to know, what is the purpose of soaking wood chips, and do they need to dry before you can grill with them?
No, the soaking keeps them from actually just bursting into flame, and I take mine right out of the liquid. There are some times that we may want to impart bourbon or rum flavor or something. You don't want them to dry out totally because you want them to be wet wood going onto the coals. And that's what creates a smoke. If they caught fire, then you have fire and no smoke. So you want that dampness. But be careful if you have a lot of alcohol in your wood chips.
That would explode.
That would explode, yeah.
All right, let's go to our phone lines at 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Again, all calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card to Toucan Market. Gail, welcome to Grillin' and Chillin' with Tom. What's on your mind? All right, hang on.
Yes, there's a way.
Gail, can you start again?
Hello?
Yes, Gail, welcome.
Yeah. Hi, I love fried okra, but I'd like to know if there's a way to do it on the grill so you get the crunch and the fun of that fried texture, but without all the oil to fry it in.
Well, you can if you dredged your okra in flour. You'd want to do is season your flour and let it kind of just sit in there, and let it sit on the okra for at least 45 minutes, because the moisture from the okra will actually cause the flour to kind of get gummy and pasty. And then if you put it on a hot grill, you can basically dry fry it over a hot grill without having to put in the oil. Do not put your pan of oil on the grill and bring that to temperature, because that's danger waiting to happen right there.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Gail, what are you cooking this 4th of July?
Oh, I'm grilling some chicken.
Some chicken.
Fantastic.
Yeah, some chicken, and I wanted to do some okra with it.
Okay. Nice southern.
Yeah, right. Sounds great.
Yeah.
All right, Gail.
We'll be over.
Thank All right.
You. Okay.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. At this time, let us introduce Lauren.
Hello, Lauren.
Hello.
Lauren's going to be, you're going to hear the hum of my induction burner. We couldn't bring our grill in, so we had to bring an induction burner in. It's kind of a fascinating piece of equipment. It works off of electromagnetic energy. So the pan gets instantly hot. So she's going to take the pan, get it warm, and then melt some butter, and then start sauteing some shrimp.
How fast does it start heating up?
It's already hot.
It's already hot?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And it's really cool. If she lift that off, I could put my hand on the grill, on the plate, and it's not hot at all.
Which you're demonstrating right now to all of our friends that are watching on Facebook.
Yep.
You can tune in and check out as Lauren grills up some shrimp, spicy grilled shrimp with garlic and lemon. Tell us what's in the shrimp.
The shrimp, it's basically olive oil, garlic. There's some celery seed in there. There's red pepper flake. And then I've finished it with a little bit of some whole grain mustard. And I wanted a little bit of sweetness, so I added some sweet chili sauce to it just to kind of round it out. Of course, I was tasting the marinade without the shrimp in it.
Okay.
And then we soaked the shrimp for about 5 hours today. So it's going to cook really...
So the you were saying earlier that with the marinade, the shrimp cooks...
Well, there's not a lot of acid in
there's
the,
not
in
a lot of
marinade.
Acid,
yeah.
Okay.
So it can... It'll take this just fine. If we put a lot of lime juice in there, then it would start to cook it and really kind of start to denature the proteins.
Okay. Now, you have in this whole grain mustard.
Correct.
What's the difference between whole grain mustard and, you know, how can you pick it out between whole grain and yellow mustard?
Yellow mustard or salad mustard is great on a hot dog. Don't get me wrong. It's got its purposes, and we use it in cooking. There's a complexity of flavor in a whole grain mustard that chefs like. We use a lot of Dijon instead of whole grain mustard, or I'm sorry, salad mustard. Whole grain mustard just adds, there's texture to it because there's still some mustard seed in it, and then the complexity of the flavors.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Join us on social media where Anthony Moreno is standing by. We had a caller that wanted to talk about not using petrochemicals. So that's something that we had a caller about. Let us go to Eugene. Eugene, welcome to Grilling and Chilling with Tom. What's on your mind, Eugene?
I was making some fried bread a couple days ago, and when I was frying it, it wasn't puffing up like it should have. I was wondering how I could fix that.
I would go back to the recipe and do some research on that. I do believe the fry bread recipe, it could be an old batch of baking soda or baking powder that's in there. It could be the style of flour that you're using. Could be operator error.
Okay.
Thanks, Eugene. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. So what's happening with the shrimp right now?
The shrimp is searing. She's got it all in the pan. You can hear it sizzling in the background. She's going to let it sit for about another minute, and then turn it over, cook it for about a minute longer, and then let the carryover cooking finish it just perfectly. We want it slightly undercooked when you take it off the heat so it doesn't overcook.
The smell is fantastic in this studio. Let us go to Claire. Claire, welcome to KRWG's Grilling and Chilling with Tom. What's on your mind, Claire?
Well, I have a couple of flat iron steaks, and I've cooked them in the frying pan in the past on high heat very fast, so that they're still rare or medium rare inside. I'm wondering how you would cook it on a grill.
The flat iron is a beautiful cut of meat, and with a nice, gentle marinade on it for about 15 minutes. I do the same thing that you do. I have a cast iron skillet. I cook them inside. When I do it on the grill, I take actually my cast iron skillet and I take it outside and put it on the grill.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. Because the retention, as the cast iron heats up, it's going to hold the temperature better for me. And so you can still get that nice Maillard reaction on the outside of the steaks. You get that nice crackle exterior.
Oh, I see. To get a uniform crust on it.
Correct. And then what I'll do is I'll turn the burners directly underneath my cast iron off, leave a side burner on, and then close the lid and let them cook just like they're in the oven.
So like maybe 2 minutes on each side if you're going to do that?
Yeah. Especially if you're going for medium rare to medium.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Well, good luck, Claire. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You know, I should have warned you, Tom. This happens every time. As the show progresses, people are listening, and then towards the end, they start calling in. We've got another call. We want to welcome to the air Sylvia. Sylvia, welcome to KRWG. What's on your mind, Sylvia?
Yes, I had a hint that I use all the time now. I got a smoker, and I wanted to do smoked spare ribs, and... The first time I did it, I just made a mess out of them, and they were tough as all get out. And so next time I did it, I dropped them in a pot of boiling water. And let me tell you, then I put them on the smoker for about an hour, and they were fabulous. I'd always do it that way now because they just turn out fantastic. They're tender and just absolutely wonderful.
That sounds great. Another hint to add to that, what that's doing is essentially basting them when you boil them. You want to make sure you pull the membrane off the back of the ribs first. And then I boiled mine at times, and there's times where I actually put them in a foil pouch, where I put them in there, season them up, and then let the natural juices steam them so I can put them on my grill. And then I open the pouch up and then put them in my smoker to finish them. So it's the same principle. So you're tenderizing the meat with the hot liquid, whether it's steam or it's immersed in a water bath, and then you're finishing them in the smoker. And it's actually amazing at how tender they come out.
Yeah, it really is. And then add a really nice sauce to them, and oh my goodness, they're just marvelous.
What's the difference between baby back ribs and spare ribs?
It's the section of where they're it's where they're cut. The baby back ribs are further down on the rib section, the rib cage. Okay. We have one of the cool things that we did at DACC this past spring is we created a food styling and video production class. And the last week of school, we haven't had time to finish editing it. The New Mexico Beef Council came down with a whole side of beef and a whole half a pig. And we had a master butcher come in and we broke it all down. So I have probably 3 hours worth of video clips that we're editing together.
Amazing.
We're gonna load that up on our YouTube. And he actually goes into where the spare ribs are, what makes them different than a St. Louis rib versus the baby back ribs. And that's all going to be on the video, hopefully before August when the new semester starts.
Where can people see the video?
It'll be on YouTube under Doniana Community College Culinary Arts.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let us go to our social media desk where Anthony Moreno is standing by. Anthony, what are people saying on social media? Did you check out the grilling? The cooking?
Oh, yeah. There's folks checking that out, but there's also someone who has a question, and I don't know if there's something, there might be some people who are maybe thinking there's something better than grilling, because some folks want to know, what are the benefits of grilling versus roasting meat, or say saute, or roasting meat?
One of the nice things about grilling is it's typically done outside with a nice cold beer in your hand. Roasting is done, especially given our summers here. I prefer to grill because it's outdoors and the kitchen doesn't get hot, and then we're waiting for the swamp cooler to cool everything back down. During the winter, I love roasting. My favorite time of year starts around the end of October and runs through New Year's, with all the roasting of the birds and the roasts and the prime rib and what have you. I love that because the smells are now trapped inside the house. I do have a tendency to smoke people out of my kitchen when I am roasting. When I roast my turkeys at Thanksgiving, we usually do 3 to 4 different style turkeys for our feast. And I start with a 550 degree oven. So when you throw the bird in, you want to crisp the skin instantly and then reduce the temperature down. So we can cook a 20-pound bird in about 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Using that method. But people have a tendency not to want to hang out with me in the smoky kitchen when that happens. So grilling should be done outside. And when we grill, it's typically an event. It's not just, you know, hey, I'm going to go cook 4 hamburgers for the family. It's, no, we're having people over. And the beauty of it is that everybody knows that when you're grilling, because the smells waft through
and
the neighborhood.
And that's what I enjoy. It reminds me of growing up in Houston and walking around the neighborhood on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, and you could smell it in the air. People grilling, the smell of chicken and meat. I mean, it just really takes you back.
Yep. Growing up in the military, and my dad was in Army Aviation, so we traveled, there was a cluster of families that we all traveled together. And whether it was grilling at a campsite or grilling in the backyard, that whole group would always come over. And the people that, if we lived on a cul-de-sac, everybody would come over because they knew when dad was grilling. And he had a custom grill made by the inmates at Fort Leavenworth. It was a big 55-gallon drum. And boy, when he'd fire that thing up, people would come from all over the neighborhood just to see, you know, the activity. And having that experience growing up about being a feast more than just, you know, it's just gonna, I'm gonna go out and fuel the machine, because it takes longer for my grill to heat up, whether it's my wood grill or my gas grill. It takes longer for it to heat up than it actually does for me to actually cook the products.
All right, let us try out the spicy grilled shrimp with garlic and lemon. Or do we want to try it?
Yeah, right. I'm going to have you try it.
Now, here, what you did is you grilled the lemon.
Yeah, we wanted a little bit of char on the lemon, so we grilled that up back at the Spotted Dog Kitchen. And a lot of these recipes that we're going to post after the show today, we're going to feature some sort of products all next week. It's 4th of July week. We want to do something more fun than just burgers and dogs. So we're going to actually have some fun with our food and our flavors, some of the side salads. We're going to have a red, white, and blue salads, blueberries and strawberries, and jicama. This salad is, it screams USA with the colors, and the flavors are fit for a queen. It's finished with a little bit of lime juice, and it's just fabulous.
All right. I've just tasted the shrimp, and it doesn't have, it is an explosion. You know, I could taste the whole grain mustard. The shrimp was extra meaty. Where did you get the shrimp?
From my primary vendor.
Okay.
Yeah, at the Spotted Dog. It's a 1620 shrimp. 1620 means 16 to 20 shrimp per pound. And we use this product all the time down at the restaurant. And it's a great product. And there's some other shrimps out there that are what we call pumped. They have tripolyphosphates in it. This is a drier shrimp, so there's less liquid in it. So as it cooks, it stays plump.
Okay, because I'm never successful cooking seafood. I can smoke meats, but when it comes to seafood, I'm never successful at it. So what is so amazing about the shrimp is that I bite through it, and it's like biting through butter. It is really tender, real soft.
There should be a little bit of crunch or snap on the outside.
Yeah, on the outside.
But if you notice, Lauren had the burner on for maybe 6 minutes total. So she had to melt the butter, and then it was 2 minutes on one side and about a minute and a half on the other side, and then off the heat and let the carryover cooking. People get a little intimidated by seafood, especially here in the desert, because we're just not accustomed to it. But it's okay to eat it medium rare. So we cook this to medium rare. It goes to medium, technically. So we're not drying it out, taking it, you know, to shoe leather quality and being able to have a product.
Like I said, I mean, as I bit into it, I could taste the crunch. And then it just, my teeth just like butter through a knife through a butter.
I'm enjoying seeing your smile
with this. All right, so... All right, talk to me about this strawberry.
Where'd all these people come from that want food now?
Hey, Anthony, here. We're going to have Anthony taste this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, please get a plate.
Grab one of these. Mm. Okay. Oh, yeah. Probably should have some for you.
Yeah, I use my hand.
Oh, no, I did notice this shirt. That's a great shirt.
Okay, here we go. Thank you. This looks good. Wow. I was listening to this cook, so... Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Okay. So Anthony approves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're hired.
All right. The strawberry blueberry jicama salsa. It's definitely red, white, and blue. So.
Correct. And this is one of those that you want to toss last minute because of the acid that's in there with the lime juice. It will start to leach some of the berry juices out, and it starts to turn the jicama different colors. So you want to toss this all at the last minute and serve it. You can call it a salad, you can call it a salsa. It'll be great. The flavors go really good with shredded pulled pork or brisket, provided you're not putting a lot of barbecue sauce in there, because you create it, you eat it like a taco in a flour tortilla with this crunch of the jicama, a little bit of cilantro in there, and the lime juice, and then the berries add that sweetness. And it just looks really, really cool sitting in a bowl on your picnic table.
All right, let's talk about the Hatch green chili pineapple salsa.
Yeah, now this one is...
We've been saving this for last.
Yeah, this is... It's fun. It's got some really cool flavors. Pineapple bring the tropical... Whenever you think of Hawaii, you always think of summer. It seems like it's always summer in Hawaii. So when you put pineapple in a salsa, and you mix it with the Hatch chilies, and you can use any heat level you want to really get it. But those two flavors sound like they wouldn't go well together, but they actually do. And it's finished. There's a little bit of red onion in there and some cilantro. I put jalapenos in here just to kind of give it a little bit more snap and some crunch. I de-seed my jalapenos. I take the stem off, split it in half lengthwise, take the membrane and the seeds out, and then I will either julienne them or fine dice them. But that when you find a little, you know, 1/8 by 1/8 inch piece of jalapeno in a coleslaw, it adds some extra crunch to it, not just heat. So it's kind of cool.
All right, let's go to our social media desk. Anthony, what did you think of that shrimp?
Oh, it was wonderful. And then also I felt like a kind of spicy flavor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right afterwards. And I was kind of curious. So if you're making that dish, what are you going to pair with that? You mentioned like you like to drink something outdoors. What are you going to drink with that dish?
Well, we offer several different beers down at the restaurant. The best one for this is traditional cerveza. We're currently brewing a Mexican lager. It's real similar to a Modelo, and those flavors go really, really well together. I myself, as an IPA fan, I'll pair everything with an IPA. So it's got to have some bold flavors to go with my beer.
Okay, now we also had a comment from JC, who says, hello, fellow grillers. He says that he's actually currently grilling hog ribs, as he wrote his comment. He said he offered a tip. He suggested that rather than using dried mesquite, to use green mesquite branches. He says a lot of folks probably have a mesquite at their place, and they can just cut small pieces as they trim them. Any thoughts on that?
That just eliminates having to soak them. It's the same principle. You know, when they dry, they're just losing the moisture content in there. Any of the green woods that you would throw in a fire pit, if they're green, they're going to smoke more than burn. So I can understand using the green wood would be just fine. But you're just foregoing having to soak them before you smoke with them.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Mm-hmm. All right. We've got about 3 minutes to go. What are you grilling this 4th of July?
Oy, that's whatever's left over.
No, really?
No, I actually have some Terrace Major that I'm going to be using.
What's going to be available at the Spotted Dog?
Spotted Dog, we're going to be doing a lot of the dishes here. We may be changing from chicken thigh to chicken wings. We're going to be doing a ribeye sandwich, which is a nice 8-ounce ribeye that we're going to sear off and put on ciabatta. We finish it up there. It goes great with our garlic fries, one of our signature dishes. We will have either grilled salmon or grilled tuna salad. So we'll grill the fish early on, let it chill, and serve it nice and cool. We always look at the weather patterns, and when it's, you know, 101 degrees out, we want you to come and sit in our patio, which is insulated. We got misters, we've got ceiling fans, and ice-cold beer, and a whole selection of food. Historically, in our region, people eat spicy foods because it inherently drives up your core temperature, so it makes the ambient air feel cooler. Mm-hmm. So that's why people on the equator eat spicy foods, and people up north eat fatty foods, so they insulate themselves. So we're going to have some good, solid flavors, some really temperature-building flavors to get you to come on out.
All right, let's pick two names from this bowl for the winners of the $25 gift certificate to Toucan Market.
Let me go deep.
All right.
All right, there's one and there's two.
All right, Eugene. And Eugene from the calls and Julie from social media. So congratulations.
And I want to thank the Bob and Robert up at Toucan. They've been big supporters of every event that I've done, and I'm a big fan of theirs. And thank you for donating these gift certificates.
Grilling and Chilling with Tom is made possible by Toucan Market, providing locally grown products from over 100 suppliers, supporting the local community for over 14 years. 1701 East University, number 1. Toucan Market, eat healthy, be healthy. By Pioneer Bank, a Las Cruces community bank serving the financial needs of southern New Mexico and West Texas since 1901, with accounts and lending products. Information at pioneerbnk.com. Today's recipes, along with the recording of the show, will be available on KRWG.org in just one bit. KRWG's Grilling and Chilling was produced and hosted by me, Edmundo Resendez. Special thanks to Adrian Velarde for suggesting the show. Fred Martino is director of content. Anthony Moreno handled the social media desk. Jacob Lockwood answered the phones and is our technical director. And Mark Johnson was our technical producer.